Sometimes I think me and Michael share a brain. We work together, we're first cousins. We often have similar ideas, and we often come at them from different perspectives, and I think that's why we argue so much. But that's essentially what my mind was on almost the exact same thing his mind was on, except I come at it from a different perspective, I guess. Different verses, different parts of the Bible. But my thoughts were on Romans. This is kind of, I've been half studying, well, I've studied Romans more than any other book, I guess. And kind of over the last couple of years, I've enjoyed a lot of things out of it. So this morning I was thinking about Romans chapter 3 to Romans chapter 6. And I was kind of just picking little verses out of each one that I enjoyed. And that's what I intend to share with you guys. So Romans chapter 3. And I was thinking first off about sin, about the fact, kind of where Michael started, the fact that there are two different roads, just like this chart says. Matthew chapter 7, that this chart says on the Broadway here, it talks about how there's two roads. It talks about how there's many that are going down, and then it talks about the narrow way. It says, few there be that find it. And really, it has the idea that one of them has to be found and one of them comes naturally. And the one that has to be found is the one that leads to heaven, the one that leads to God. So it gives two different, I don't know if it's right to say classes, but two different groups of people. And it gives the idea that everybody ends up heading to hell. Everybody starts off, I mean, by being a sinner, by heading to hell. And that's exactly what Romans said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There's a list. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, there's none that understand, there's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all become unprofitable. I was thinking about that verse lately, about how sometimes we think we're doing things for God, and especially in our sin. Even Michael has a date, and I do too. August 24th, 2016 was the day that I got to know Christ, the day I was saved. And I was never that interested in being a Christian. I was kind of embarrassed of the whole idea before that. But in my head, I had ideas that I did good things. And that you know, I understood, I grew up here, so I knew that doing good would never bring me to heaven. But on the grand scale of things, I kind of thought that I did do good things sometimes. But in God's eyes, nothing I ever did was good. And that verse says, they are altogether become unprofitable. This is written from God's point of view. So God looks at people who think they're doing good, and if he doesn't see them in Christ, he sees them as unprofitable. It's a harsh truth. It's something that's hard to accept, but that's what the Bible says. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. It stinks. Their tongues have used deceit. Poison is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are shift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. That part I could identify with before August 24th, 2016. Didn't have peace. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. That part was true as well. So it's saying that all the world is guilty before God. That's what verse 19 says, just to end off this section. And then verse 23 says there's no difference. So the writer here is comparing Jews, the ones who were God's people, the ones who thought they had standing with God outside of all this. So Jews, and then Gentiles, the barbarians. He says, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So that's the first area I was thinking of. The harsh reality that all have sinned, that in our natural state, we're all separate from God. We're all unprofitable. We're all useless to God. So then, Romans chapter 4. I was thinking, Romans chapter 4 is really a nice chapter. It talks about David, who the Jews really looked to. It talks about Abraham, who was the father of the Jews. And it talks about how they were sinners, but how they had put their faith in God. And because of that, their sins were not put on their account. Their sins were forgotten, kind of like Michael was speaking of. And then, the verse that I was really enjoying is the last verse. And it says, if we believe that Jesus, that him that raised up, so that's kind of why I was enjoying this, because that's what today is all about. Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, who was sent to the cross. That's the reason he went. He was delivered to that cross for our offenses. And Isaiah shares that idea. Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our sins. He was wounded for our iniquities. It was our sin that he was dying for on that cross. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. A lot of people like to look at various verses of the Bible and they say, okay, so this verse here, you know, he was delivered for the offenses of the world. People always say that. He died for the world. He died for all. He so loved the world. It's on the wall over here. And he was raised again for our justification. So everybody's saved. He died for everybody's sins. Everybody's saved. But again, we come back to the idea that there's two groups. And it says in the beginning of chapter 5, if we're justified, therefore being justified. So if you're justified by faith, if you have faith, you have peace with God. But if you don't have faith, you're still stuck in chapter 4. You're still stuck in chapter 3, I mean. You're still stuck in the area where all have sinned. Faith is what separates you from that. Faith is what separates me from that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Michael was comparing what we are naturally to what we are in Christ. And to me, peace is one of the biggest things, one of the biggest differences. I still have my moments where I'm not very peaceful, and I still have my moments where I sin, and I still have moments where I'm not as much like Christ as I should be. A long ways from that. But we have peace. And this is where I want to roll over to Galatians just for a second. I was thinking about this. Sometimes we preach the gospel, but we don't enjoy the perks of the gospel, if you can say that. And this is one perk, if you can say that. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, the works of the flesh, so again we have two groups. The works of the flesh are manifest, they're shown, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, don't ask me what that means, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. So here we have what comes to us naturally. And I'd be lying if I said that there are things in this list that still, I'm not going to say look attractive, because as I hate sin. I do sin, but I hate it. That's another thing that comes out in Romans. But anybody that's here, we all still do things that are wrong from time to time. And it comes naturally because we let it. They're fruits of the works of the flesh. And it's what comes to us naturally. But the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's really patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. And we're going to get to it in a minute in Romans, but really this section, it's talking about how we were naturally, and then in Christ, what is accessible, what is attainable. So we're going to go back to Romans now. So we read that list. They're very different lists. One is what we don't like, what we don't want to be, and one is what we do want to be, what we strive for. And the end of Romans chapter 3, it says, so is the law useless because of faith? And it says, no, by God forbid, yea, we establish the law. So he's saying here, we now have the ability through Christ to keep the law, to do good. We never were able to do good in God's sight before, but now we do. So back to the end of chapter 4, he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. If we're justified, if we have faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking about balances, the grand scheme of things earlier, and in Romans chapter 9, or Romans 5, verse 19, there's a verse that it doesn't talk about good and evil balancing, but I probably have a touch of OCD and I enjoy when things make sense. I enjoy when there's a balance. And Romans 5 and 19, it says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We know Adam. We've all heard the story. He ate that fruit that God told him not to. And because of that one tiny little act of sin, of rebellion, he did one tiny little thing that God said not to. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We know that we've all descended from Adam. We know that we're all sinners. So, by the obedience of one. So, one person disobeyed, one person obeyed. We know that it was Christ that obeyed. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It has nothing to do with us. It doesn't say one man disobeyed and then a whole bunch of people tried to be good and because of that they're righteous. No, it says one person disobeyed, so all were disobedient. But because of one righteous act, many can be made righteous. Again, it has the idea of a choice. Can be made. It doesn't say are. Can be made righteous. And that's Christ through him. So, then Romans chapter 6. So we have this choice. We have salvation, we have faith, and we have this new life that Michael was talking about. We're a new person. And that's what Romans chapter 6 starts with. Verse 3, it says, know not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. This is coming back to Galatians that I was enjoying. We have the power to do those things that we never did before. We have the power to be unnaturally good because goodness doesn't come to us naturally. So we have the two groups, sinners, unrighteous, not good, and then we have those who have faith in Christ. We're all looking to someone else to be the righteousness for us in God's eyes. We're all looking to that one to bring us to God, like Michael was saying. And Romans chapter 6 ends with a verse, and this is where I'm going to end. This verse is the verse that I was reading when I trusted Christ. And it says, I closed my Bible, but you guys hopefully didn't, so you know it's there. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And again, we have the idea that sin equals death. If we're sinners, if we're trusting in ourselves, if we're not doing good in God's sight, it equals death. That's what it deserves. And I realized that. I for the first time, I was 19 years old, and I knew that sinners went to hell, but for the first time, I looked at that, and I thought, wow, I'm a sinner, and I deserve death. I deserve eternal death. I deserve to go to hell. I often thought of it as just that's where I was headed and that's where you go, but I never thought of the fact that I deserved it because of the sins that I had done. I had sinned against my parents, I had sinned against people, but all of it chalks up to this. I had sinned against God. God had said, don't do this, and I had. And I had always kind of put the blame on Adam. If Adam had never sinned, maybe I'd be right with God. But for the first time, I put the blame on myself and I realized that I deserved sin. I deserved hell because of my sin. And I didn't read the second half of the verse right away. I actually, the words of a song came to my mind. Jesus died for me. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus died for me. And I was like, wow, Jesus died for me. I deserve death, but Jesus died for me. That's simple as anything. Is that really what salvation is? And I read the second half of the verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here is my point. The points I was hoping to make. We're all sinners, myself included. I'm sure I would have had a much longer list than Stephen Burton. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell for our sins. But we don't need to go there because Jesus died for us. And I wanted to get the practical point across, the perk, if it will. We're going to end up in heaven, that's a perk. But we have power over sin. Based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He had newness of life. He died for sin and he rose again. We should die to sin. after faith. And we can live a new life. We can live a life. We have the power through Christ's life to be free, not to be free from sin, but to overcome sin. So that's what I was enjoying today. And we'll pray. Father, we are thankful for your love. We hope that something good could come from your word that was shared. We know sometimes we get up here and our thoughts don't make as much sense when they come out as they do in our heads, but we just pray that you would use what was shared. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus, and we are especially thankful for his life. We've already enjoyed it as proof that his life was enough to pay for our sins, but we know that practically, once we have faith in him, that life can also speak to us of the new life that we can live in you. Pray for help to do that. We pray that you would give us help to have power over sin. We know it's a choice that we make every day. And we just pray for help with this. We pray that everyone here would be saved. Pray that everyone would have faith in Christ, what he did for them on the cross. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.